Bob McCown Podcast, and it's brought to you by Bet Rivers. Download the Bet Rivers online casino and sportsbook app today. McCown, Shannon with you today, and the coaches with us. Not much better than that.
William Scott Bowman.
Yep. We'll hear what he has to say, and it's he's got a lot to say.
Oh, always.
Coach Bowman, after this. Hi, this is Bob McCown for BetRivers.com. Hey, if you're looking for a sports book or casino app, you should check out the Bet Rivers Sports and Casino app today. Play all of your favorite casino games for real money anywhere and anytime. Plus, get in the action with each sports game with hundreds of sports betting options. And get ready to feel like a VIP, because you'll earn both loyalty level points and bonus store points on every real money wager you make. You must be 19 plus, available in Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you have questions or concerns about your gambling or someone close to you, contact Connex Ontario at 1-866-531-2600 or speak to an advisor free of charge. BetRivers.com. We are back, McCown and Shannon with you, along with the coach. Scotty Bowman is with us today. It's pretty early in this NHL season, but year of surprises so far with Boston and New Jersey, both off to really good starts. Are you surprised? You must be.
Oh, for sure, Bob. I think Boston, the fact that, you know, I had them down for a tough start without, Marchand and McAvoy, but I'm pretty happy for the coach. I know Jimmy very well. I played sports with his dad in Montreal many years ago, in football and a little bit of hockey. His dad was a Golden Glove boxer too. But Jimmy's had a tough time, as you know. He came out of the college ranks with a lot of pedigree. He was pretty good in Dallas, and then he ran into off-ice problems. But, you know, he got over that, and I think he got a good break going to St. Louis, because he married a girl from St. Louis after he played a little bit there. I think he played most, well, the biggest part of his career was played in Maine. He was a line mate and teammate of Paul Kariya. Mm-hmm. And then I don't remember a lot about him as an NHLer. He played a little bit in Philadelphia, and he was one of those fringe players. But, he's always inquisitive. I've talked to him quite a bit, during the summer months. We had a program during the pandemic of Coach's Cafe. He was very involved with that, trying to get back in. So it's a good story, you know, for him. And I don't know. He's an unusual coach in the fact that I saw him in Tampa about a week ago, and he said, "We have a good team." You know, most coaches don't want anybody to think they have a good team. But he said the biggest difference with their team is the depth of the players they got. He's very, very pleased with DeBrusk, another player, Zacha, that they got from New Jersey. He said, you know, I can put four lines on the ice. I got five or six defensemen, two goalies. So he's pretty excited.
What's his strength as a coach, Scotty?
Well, he runs a good bench. He really runs a good bench, and he's always trying to figure how can I make a player get better. And we were talking about Pavel Zacha. Is it Pavel? His first name Zacha?
Yeah, Pavel Zacha. Yeah.
Okay, so you know he wasn't sure about him. He said he's a very skilled player, and he said what I'm going to do. I'm going to. He really likes David Krejci. He said that he's like a mini Bergeron. He's a player that, can really calm players down. Of course, you know how good Pasternak is. But I said, well, you know, it reminds me a little bit when I was with Bob Johnson, the late Bob Johnson in Pittsburgh the first year, and he kind of set the table after Bob passed away and I was coaching the second year. And and Brian Trottier, we had got over from the Islanders on kind of a sort of a sad departure, because Brian just didn't, he didn't want to relinquish. That's why he was such a good player. He was such a proud player. And Pat LaFontaine was coming in. There was a lot of friction, and I don't know, they just couldn't find a way to sign him again. But he did a great job with Pittsburgh, with Jaromir Jagr, because Jaromir came in as an 18-year-old. He was a little bit moody. You know, he was in line with a lot of players that were a lot more experienced than he was, Mario and fellows like Ronnie Francis. And we had a really, really established veteran team, but Brian did a great job. And he said that Krejci has really taken interest in Pavel Zacha. And it's an all-check line, of course, as you know, with Pasternak. You know, it gives them another line to really have to worry about, because Bergeron and Marchand are playing with the Brusque. So, and then he's got Charlie Coyle. I mean, Taylor Hall, you know, is not the player he was maybe when he was the MVP, but he's playing down in the lineup. Like, he's playing with Charlie Coyle. So he's got good balance. And I don't think it's just a good start for him. He can't keep this up. I don't think the team set a new record, as you know, 12 straight wins to start the season. But I looked at them. I saw them play about a week ago against the Lightning, and they haven't done as well against the Lightning some games in Tampa, but they were really full value that night, and that's when I was impressed with them.
I don't know anybody that picked the Bruins at the start of this year. I think we all thought the same thing, that they were a little bit old, and they were probably going to go backwards more likely than forwards. What's been the difference? What do you see in them that's different, that has made them the best team in the NHL so far?
I'd say, Bob, that they only relied in the past few years on two players, Marchand and Bergeron. Mm-hmm. And they were great players. But they, you know, it doesn't matter how great a player is. They were playing them a lot. They were killing penalties. They were on the power play. Teams were trying to work to shut them down naturally. So now they've got balance, what I see of them. He was even raving about, you know, Nicholas Foligno. He said he's been around, but he's taken a good role on the fourth line. He's on the second power play. He's a real team player. So I would say it's balance. And the teams that can have the depth, I mean, we got a lot of teams that can throw a couple of lines out there. But if you don't have other, you can't just play those players. And there's a lot of travel now, and it's a fast game. And I think I even see it with Toronto on the run they had on this last trip. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at the players, like, we don't know a lot of their players, but you know, they got some depth now that people didn't know about. And you know, when you look down their lineup, you know, of course, you know, they made a lot of good choices like Bunting, players like that, but Toronto's got some depth on the bottom end now that they didn't have before.
That Bob touched on the Devils. Is balance the key to the Devils as well?
Well, I think the big thing with the Devils has been the goaltending. Vanacek has come in, and you know, he's had some good seasons, but not all the time. And that I thought last year that they were coming along, but their goaltending was really shoddy. I mean, they could score goals a little bit last year. They couldn't defend. And maybe the trade they made with Pittsburgh, they got John Marino over from Pittsburgh, and he's their defense is shored up quite a bit. You know, they got Graves out of Colorado a couple of years ago. They got Severson. They've got some players, but Jack Hughes is a special player, John. I remember watching him the first game he played in Tampa as a rookie. And boy, I mean, you know, he wasn't very strong physically, but we all felt that when he matures and gets a bit stronger, and now he's a very unselfish player. I look at him more as a playmaker, but I noticed the other day with his hat trick, he's got 11 goals. So I mean, he's a number one pick, but it doesn't always happen this quickly.
Well, actually, speaking of Hughes, it's amazing to think, very quietly in many ways, the three Hughes boys are going to be impact players. Like Quinn Hughes has had a great start in Vancouver this year, Scotty. So Quinn Hughes is playing well. Jack Hughes is playing well. And Luke's coming from Michigan for next year, I assume. And he's supposed to be the best of the three.
Yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. But I know people rave about him. But, you know, it's taken time with the Devils. But they got two first picks. Even Heischer, he's a little bit under the radar now. But, you know, when you get two young players that can play center, and it's not an easy spot. I always felt the toughest places to play in the NHL initially, naturally with defense and goaltending, we forget about that. But center ice is so tough because it's – and now I think more than ever because of the importance of puck possession, face-offs. And it seems that the young sentiment coming in, they don't always get a lot of breaks, and you know, the veterans are well established, and it's normal. There's not, you can't just cite one player, but you know, the Bergerons and Taves and Crosbys and Stahls, they've been around a long time, and so they have experience on faceoffs. They know what they can, how much can they stretch, you know, the rule a little bit, which is always important. But no, I look at their team and Brad, I don't know a lot of their players. But, you know, they just seem to be able to score goals that they weren't last year. But the defensive game, Lindy's coached 800 victories in his career. And, you know, when you think about it, Lindy had that real close call to win the Cup in 99. I mean, everybody knows Buffalo had a decent team, and Dominik Hasek was such a great goalie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's got experience in the league, and I know he's not the only one. There's a lot of good, experienced coaches, but I think that he's a guy that he's been able to change. He's demanding, but he's also a pretty friendly coach. He's a friendly person himself, and I think that spills off on their team. So they've been patient, and they're not going to keep this pace, maybe, but I didn't think they'd be challenging the Rangers or Carolina. But it's the opposite now. They're challenging. Those teams have to get going.
I know that this is a league that is now speed oriented more than size or physicality or many things. But New Jersey is as fast a team as I've seen in a long time. They are really quick.
They're very fast and they're not oversized. It's right. That's what people keep saying about them. That, you know, they got a lot of small players, but if guys can skate like they can, Bob, you're exactly right. I mean, if guys can move like they can, and it's not just one way or the other, it seems, I mean, the league's full of great skaters. We know that. But there seem to be a notch ahead of them. I don't know if that's what their plan was to look, let's take fast guys. But they've just drafted those kind of players, and now they've developed them.
In your time around the league, I mean, the Devils went, I think it was 13 in a row with the streak. I've never heard and watched a season streakier than this one. Like team, like Pittsburgh went and lost seven in a row and then won six in a row. St. Louis. Where do you see this streakiness coming from?
Well, I mean, it could be there's a lot of parity, but when there's parity, you always think you're going to run into it. But now you're not going to run into games that, there's sort of games that you think teams are, when you look at the bottom order of the league in talent, I mean, they hang in there. The Arizonas and San Jose's, they're not putting up wins, but they don't have the players and they're in a different philosophy right now, trying to rebuild. And, but I think I thought of Doug Armstrong the other night, and he's one guy, he's always got a story. And he said, you know, for about 3 weeks, I thought my team's finished. Now he said, we go on a big five or six, seven game. He said, it's the same players. He said, but the players that won the cup 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, rather, they've lost some big, you know, he said, they've got to do something. Their defense is not as big as it was. You know, when right. They had Bo Mister and they had Peter Angelo, and those guys, they had a pretty good sized defense. Edmondson was there as well. So, but he said it's hard. But then he said we went on that run, and why? Because the forwards started to play like they were before. They got a couple of really good young players, you know, in Kyrou, and Thomas may be their best forward. And they haven't really got Tarasenko on track and Ryan O'Reilly. They're the two that, I mean, they're going to get better, I think, as the year goes on. But he couldn't believe what happened to their team. They just turned it around. He said I'm not sure if he said the players' mothers went on a trip.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, there was a mother's trip.
First time with the Blues,
really
ever. And they went on a 3-game. They started to win, and he said we didn't stop until a couple of days ago. But you know, they had a strange game against Tampa. They weren't in the game early. They got way down at the beginning of the game. They came back and had a really good second half. And I said, boy, they're going to have a tough time tomorrow night because they had to play in 22 hours. They went into the other side and played the Panthers, and they were down before they knew it, 3-0. Mm-hmm. And they came back and won that game in overtime. So, you know, they have good forwards. The question will be, you know, their team has changed around. Bennington did come back last year quite a bit. But do they have a backup goalie? Thomas Greiss struggled a little bit, you know, and that's important now. These teams that can't have that other goalie going in and changing things around is a big factor. And the goalie they had last year, they brought in Ville Husso. Husso, yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
He's changed the ranks of the Red Wings now.
It's very interesting that of the four teams that lead their divisions or conferences or whatever, divisions, I guess it is.
Divisions.
Three of the four have new coaches. Vegas is a team that had a lot of injuries last year, and that hurt them a lot. And so I suppose their record isn't totally surprising. But they got the guy from Boston that Boston didn't want anymore. Boston's doing great with their new coach. And this guy goes into Vegas, and they're on top of their division, too.
And Pete DeBoer, who got fired in Vegas, has gone to Dallas.
Goes to Dallas, and he's in first place.
And by the way, Rick Bonus went from Dallas to Winnipeg, and Winnipeg's one of the great stories in the game this year.
John, it's a new voice for the players, and I think it's different now than when I coach. But the players now, they have a lot of different outlooks, and sometimes your message doesn't get there now. And could an experienced coach change? Not a lot. I mean, what's made him successful and coach a lot of games, he's not going to want to forget a lot about that. And that's exactly what's happened. But I don't know what happened to Bruce Cassidy in Boston. But, you know, they just didn't think he was a fit for the team right now. And maybe if Bruce would have been there when they had, but he was having, as you know, one of the players wanted to leave the Brusque, and I don't know if it's factual, but there's a lot of stories out there that aren't, but they said that possibly Bruce was pretty tough on young guys, and it seemed that the veterans had bothered them. That to me is a story, but I always thought he was a pretty decent coach. You know, he's been around a long time. I mean, he coached Washington about 20 years ago, and then he went in the minors and did a terrific job and got his chance. But Bob's right. Vegas suffered so badly. I think it was 7 or 8 players and not there. But they made changes this year. Pacioretty's gone, and, you know, they got some new players. They found a goalie in Thompson. I don't even know the backup goalie. That's how much I haven't watched them that much, but their record is good.
I wonder, when you were coaching, I don't know if this applies to you at all, but do you think you coach differently when you go to a new team? Do you take a different approach? Are you a little softer maybe than you would be, you know, 6 weeks in, 8 weeks in?
Hold on. Scotty and the word soft do not really ever go hand in hand.
I understand.
No. Okay.
I know.
my, you know what happened, Bob? And I remember it like it was yesterday. In St. Louis, as you know, and everyone knows, we got 3 or 4 NHL players. The 6 expansion teams got 3 or 4 that played in the league. We got some good minor leaguers, but we only got 20 players. It's amazing how that whole system worked, because we didn't have an amateur draft. That was it. The good players were all taken for 2 more seasons. We didn't get American League players, Jack Kent Cook brought Springfield. Philadelphia worked along with the Aces. So it was hard to get players. And, you know, but we got, my theory on the expansion was the three or four players that we got, they weren't in the top half of the of their teams that where they came from, because they protected 11. But they were players that could do different things. They could play well. I mean, we concentrated on trying to get a team that was good defensively. Our first pick was Jim Roberts, because we felt he could play forward, and also we could move him back on defense, which he did. But Glenn Hall came in. That was the big player for us to get in the expansion. But we had a group of players. We always played four lines. I remember when I started to coach after the first couple of months, and Lynn Patrick asked me if I would come back and take over the team rather than wait till next year. And I said, well, we need some new players. And we brought up Frank St. Marseille, Gary Sabourin, and Terry Crisp. They were all playing in Kansas City. They were just a breath of fresh air. But we played a lot of players. We were good defensively. We could stop the other team from scoring and be it because of goaltending and defense. We had a tough defense. We had Al Arbour with Barkley Plager. We had Bob Plager with Noel Picard. And we had Jimmy Roberts with Jean-Guy Talbot. So we had a lot of bases covered. But then I got a chance to go to Montreal. And I remember having a meeting with Sam Pollock. Of course, I'd known him a long time. And he's the one that put it out to me. He said, you know, Scotty, there's three or four superstars on this team, which you maybe are not used to having with the Blues. So he said, they're going to need a lot more ice time than just, you know, every fourth shift. And in fact, the one he mentioned was Frank Mahovlich. He said, you know, guys like Frank Mahovlich and Evan Cornway, I don't know if you're used to. I said, no, I know what you're saying. And that's true. When you move to another team, sometimes you have to change. And I know when I went to Montreal, yes, we played a pretty good depth team. But your big guys are the ones. If they're not going, you're not going to win. So I mean, it's even watching Toronto now with they're on a bit of a streak. We know that. But the biggest change I've seen is how Matthews is so determined now to play both ends of the rink. I mean, he's out there. I mean, his face-offs have improved. You got Marner. Look what he does every night. And but they're I don't know. I don't know how many minutes. I didn't even look how much time they're playing. But they're in there in crucial times. They're running the power play, and your good players have got to be able to. And I think when you have a core of players, that's the hardest part for these new teams or teams that are rebuilding. How do you get a core? And that's what Buffalo's going through. Ottawa's going through that. Detroit, you got to get those five or six players that you have in your system, and they run the team. They run the team. I don't care who's coaching. You lean on your top players, and if you don't, they're not going to play. So that's the definite secret of good teams. Is your best players better be your best players?
So because I know we have a few Maple Leaf fans that watch or listen to the show. You're not concerned about Austin Matthews racking up the goals? Do you think he's becoming a better two-way player?
Yeah, he's I watched him in the late stages of games, and they had that long trip. They had that road trip, and yeah, they hung on a few games and got some goaltending. And got very surprised defense core. I mean, the two Swedish players, Liljegren and what's it, Sandin?
Yeah.
Sandin. I mean, they're playing big minutes now. I mean, and I don't think people, you know, sometimes you need injuries and then you find a player or two. But they were on the team. But I think when they were on the team before, they weren't counted on. They were just hanging on, playing the odd shift here and there. And now, but the four guys that were injured, three or four aren't even playing. They've had to play, and it's confidence. Matthews to me, like even his determination when they're one goal lead, he's playing the two way game. And not that he was a rookie for a first year, and then I think he's probably having a better time because nobody's worried about the team scoring 50 or 60. They're more worried about the team making the playoffs. And that makes it easier for him to go in every game. I mean, he's going to get his points. He's going to get his goals. He's got his. He's still like a, nothing happened to his shot on the power play, but you know, there's other players that are playing now. They've got what they need. He's got Nylander and Marner's got Tavares, and then they got these other players like Engvall and you know the one they got from Colorado.
Kerfoot.
They got speed, Toronto. When I noticed them play, I don't know a lot of their players because I didn't watch the Marlies play, but they got some players. I do remember watching Toronto Marlies when they were pretty strong a few years ago. Engvall was a player that stood out because of his skating. Now, he's a utility player right now, but he's added speed to their lineup, and they seem to have a team that's skating better. And like Bob mentioned, I don't know how you can play in the league now if you might sneak the odd good player by that's so smart or strong physically, but if you don't move now, I don't see you playing very much.
We'll take a break. We're with Scotty Bowman. We'll come back after this message.
And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. These days, more athletes are speaking out about the importance of mental health. But you don't have to be in the pros to take care of your mental well-being and being focused and in the zone. Therapy is the best way to stay in peak mental shape. We've all seen firsthand the benefits of unloading the stress, of working through the emotional healing and dealing with anxiety and depression. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, and online. Get matched with a therapist after filling out a brief survey, and you can switch therapists at any time. When you're ready to feel at the top of your game, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bobcast today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Bobcast.
With Scotty Bowman, the former coach, I'm trying to get to, you know, you've got Vegas with a new coach, Winnipeg, Dallas, Boston, all very good teams at or near the top in the NHL, and they all have new coaches. And I'm wondering if there's any commonality to the approach that these guys take. That's what I'm trying to get from you. Do you think there is?
They're all ultra experienced. Yeah. And there's one sitting in the wings with a lot of experience too.
Well, I know.
Barry Trotz, but no, yeah. I think it's because they're not on the bubble in their own mind. They've all got 600, 700, or 800 wins. It's not like they're learning how to coach again, but they probably are challenged with a new group of players. I think probably the biggest example is in Winnipeg, but you know it seems that Rick Bowness is able to put in a defensive structure on a team. And I said, well, Winnipeg, you know, they were not that bad a couple of years ago, but now all of a sudden they do score goals too. So I would say that they bring a certain system and they believe in it, but that's okay. But you must sell it to your team. And maybe he was very fortunate. Winnipeg was not where they wanted to be. The players haven't changed a lot. They've added a few, but not a lot. I mean, they've added three or four, and the veterans still have to do the job, and they have improved their defense, and they have a very good goaltender. He's in the top two or three in the league.
You beat me to it, Scotty, because Connor Hellebuck might be the best goalie in the game right now. He's been that good. And well, the challenge becomes now is how many games can he play?
Yeah, he's playing a lot. I don't know if he's getting to work every night in the travel. You'd have to check the team's travel. So, I mean, I was talking to somebody the other day about Detroit, and they're off to a good first quarter. They've only had one back-to-back, that's been a big asset for them, not to have to worry about playing back-to-back, because you're going to have to play back-to-back. I don't know all the schedules of the teams, but, you know, teams, I go to the games in Tampa, and you know when you think about it, the Lightning or the Panthers, they get teams they get teams back to back a lot. And they don't seem to be, it hasn't bothered them as much, but I agree with you on Winnipeg is Hellebuck. I mean, you know, John, those points have been so meaningful in the first 20 plus games now. And, you know, they're not, I don't know what their schedule's been, but I don't even know. I don't know how many games the backup has played, but I mean, they're looking at how many games has he played? I don't know.
I think he's played five.
Yeah.
I think he's played
Probably on target for maybe 20. But yeah. When you're right. When they, I don't have a number on the goalies though, because I don't think, you know, these goalies, it depends how much work are they're getting. Are they completely holding the teams in all the time? And that would be important. The Tampa goalie, they play Elliott now on those goalies play usually on the back-to-back situation, although they play them sometimes in the first game now. And but Vasilevskiy can play a lot. He's 28 years old, and I don't know. Hellebuck's probably what, 30 maybe? I don't know.
He's about the same age, I think, actually. Yeah. But Bob would actually, by the way, Bob would like his goalie to play 82.
I was just going to bring that up.
I know.
I was thinking 70, but we're close.
Well, Bob wants, he doesn't even understand why you carry a backup.
I don't know why. Let the guy who runs the Zamboni be the backup.
In case
somebody gets hurt.
Well, Bob, it's like me. Why can these pitchers only pitch 100 pitches? But I know.
I'm with you, Scotty.
Oh my God. I can't believe we're going down this track.
Well, I know a couple of people with different teams, and they told me straight off the players in the minor leagues, there's nobody going to move past that 100 plus pitches because that's the way they train them in the minors.
Oh, I know that.
But
if you were coaching today, you'd let your number one goalie, assuming he's as good as a guy like a Hellebuck is or others, you'd let him play 70, 75 games?
That would be a lot, but I have a hard time taking out a player that's really playing well. And that might answer your question because, I know, Bob, the story I can tell you when we were going for the fourth cup in Montreal and we had our hands full in the conference finals with Boston. Right. And if you look at what we did with Boston, the first time we played them 3 years in a row. The first time we beat them four straight in 77. The next series was the final again. It was six games, a couple in overtime.
Right.
And then the third time was the conference final. When we got behind in that seventh game in Montreal, and we ended up, you know, winning in overtime, but we lost Guy Lapointe. We weren't playing a lot of defensemen like they do today. We were playing about four or five, and Guy Lapointe got hurt in the middle part of the third period, and then we tied it up with the last couple of minutes, and then go in the dressing room between the third and the overtime. And now we're going for, if we don't win that series, we're not going to get four in a row. So Claude Drouel was my assistant. He was a wonderful man. And we both spoke enough of each language. And he said to me, Scotty, what do we do? What do we do now? You know, like we're going into the overtime. I said, Claude, we're going to play Robinson and Savard to start the overtime. They said, well, what's next? No, I said, one of them has to stay on the ice. I said, I want to start them at the beginning of the overtime. I said, after three or four shifts, I'm going to play them again. He said, why? I said, because, Claude, if we're going to go down, we're not going to go down with a guy we haven't used a lot. And you know who wasn't playing very much was a rookie, Rod Langway.
Right.
And right. I mean, he was
pretty good.
So he said, Scotty, you know, what are we going to do? I said, well, Claude, the problem is going to happen after 10 minutes. We're going to be okay for 10 minutes. And that's when we scored the goal. But no, I'm like you. I was always reluctant to take good players off the ice at important times, but it's so much different now. I mean, I try to get my mind around what the game is now, but you mentioned it, the speed of the game now, and you know, the scheduling, it's not easy. The fast games mean a lot. You're going to have to skate every, every night.
But fast games also mean shorter shifts, Scotty. When you and Lemaire and Schutt and Lafleur, what were they? Minute and a half?
Two minutes. A minute and three quarters. Yeah, it's all, that's exactly right. And that's why teams can't, like, if you look at most teams today, there's not as much matching. They'll match on the whistle. But right. If I was coaching today, I couldn't worry about getting certain players on the ice all the time to be checking or playing offense, because they only play 30 or 35, 40 second shifts. If you're just changing to match players on the fly, you're going to have no forecheck. You can't do it anymore. So the coaches now, they basically try, they have a couple of lines that are going to be scoring, a couple that they can rely on. They'll put, if you notice when they put the third or fourth liners out there, it's usually for an offensive faceoff. So if the other team matches up, it's right. not as dangerous because it's not in your end. But no, you're right on. I mean, the pace of the game, the line changes are different than in our day. I still see guys, though, that go gliding to the bench. One thing I did notice with Boston in Tampa the other night, not every line, but a couple of lines, I used to be a stickler saying, can you not give me another two strides to get off the ice and let that guy get on the ice? It's so important. And now players often change when the other, we never wanted players to change when the other team was coming at you, or maybe, but now you have to change at different times. It's right. a completely different part of the game.
As an aside, Rick, one of the things Rick Bowness has done in Winnipeg, if anybody gets close to a minute for a shift, Rick is apoplectic. You know, yeah. he wants 45 to 50 second shifts every time for every player. And those guys in Winnipeg have had a tough time adapting because they were used to longer shifts.
Well, Marshawn, I've always noticed with Marshawn, and he was playing like every third shift, maybe now a little different. But I noticed with Marshawn, he was one of the best players to change at the right time. And he didn't stay on long. And that right. allowed the coach, if a player comes, if you have a good player like he or one of those top-notch guys, if they come off the ice, you can get them back out there. If you want to just forget about playing four lines, you want to go to three or even back to back, you can get away with it a little bit if the player comes off at the right time. And Marshawn has always been a good change player. And I think that allowed the coaches. He doesn't seem to tire Marshawn. He kills penalties. He's a full rounded player. He kills mm-hmm. penalties. He passes, he shoots. I mean, I still think he's one of the most underrated players in the game we have today for results.
I know this is ridiculous, but just to show you how the game has changed, how much the game has changed. When I played hockey as a kid, we had a 3-minute buzzer. We changed lines on the buzzer. They stopped the game. So you played 3 minutes. And then I refereed, you know, 10 years later, and I was doing house league games, and they did the same thing. So your shifts were 3 minutes long. Now, that was at the time that you, as you said, your shifts probably in the NHL were nearly 2 minutes or 2 minutes. So it wasn't that much different. But I wonder what it's like today. I wonder if they still play 3-minute shifts.
No, they don't. No,
the
Rover's gone too, Bob. They don't play.
Oh, with really?
There's no Rover anymore.
Oh, you're kidding.
even now, when a team has a goal lead and there's about 2.5 minutes left in the game, sometimes you'll see the player that you'd really want out there in the last 30 or 40 or 50 seconds of the game, but he's got to come off because he's out there at 2:10, 2:15, and then he's had about a 40 second shift, so he's got to come off. And if there's no whistle, it makes a difference now in the late stages of the game. And of course, that's the biggest change in the game now. I mean, we didn't have a three goal deficit might be reduced to two, but you're not going to take three goals now like they do now. They come back and score three goals. in a period in a period or even half a period.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, I got to ask you, because not all the coaches have been tremendously successful this year. John Tortorella's in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. John, after a year out of the business, was it with ESPN for a while. But I must say, John has been so approachable this year and is, you know, he can get angry, but he seems to have a willingness to explain what he's talking about. And I wonder if that year being in the media has changed him a little bit. You did the same thing. You were in the media for a few years with Hockey Night. When you went back to coach, did it change your attitude of dealing with people and explaining things, or did that not affect anything you did?
No, a little bit. You have more composure, and you know, I think with John this year, you know, he seemed to have had a good training camp. He surprised everybody, his team did, and he was there as coaching the first 3 weeks. Now, I don't have any idea how many of the players are not playing now that were playing at the beginning, but everybody's saying that this team's had a real setback of injuries, because I know they got pretty good goaltending at the beginning. They were in game. They're even in games now, but probably the depth part, and I think that he's at the this team was really in disarray with injuries, and probably a guy like Couturier, people say, well, he's only one player, but if it's one different kind of player that they have now, he was always a player that could play against another team's top centerman and do a decent job. They don't have that luxury anymore. So I think, yeah, he's instructing, he's trying to get a culture in there. But he's sensible now, like he was before. I mean, this coach won the Stanley Cup with a real big upset. So I think he's at the stage now where he said, I got to try to develop these players. And I heard him say that he can take a mistake, but I have a hard time taking a lot of them the same time. And I don't think he's changed his values, because he's even said in some of the instances that, you know, I'm more like he is on the analytics. I hear people talk about the analytics, and I wonder, and I say to myself, we play so many games. We play three or four games in 6 nights. Can I digest all the stuff that I'm getting, or how much of it's important? And I'm not against analytics, but I'm more eye test. And I think when I would use analytics would be when you do make decisions, you sometimes have doubt, and maybe that's when you turn and say, what did they show? But I'm not as big on the idea that, I mean, I think in some cases it can help a lot, but the players are different that you're analyzing all the time. And I don't know if long as you do it, you know, sophisticated analytics, I could maybe lean on it, but I can't let it run me. I can't do that.
Yeah. The other thing is these guys don't appear to have near the amount of practice time that you had when you coached. That must be challenging.
Yeah, I think they try to, the thing now is they try to get as much rest into the players, and rather than wear them down with a lot of skating and in the practices, they don't have to tune them up physically. They don't have to do it. They seem to use the video an awful lot. Like your specialty teams, you have them on the bench. Even the players are looking at them. Mm-hmm. And I think the trend now, rather than trying to talk a player into doing something, you're better to show it. You're better to show it. And the technology is so sophisticated, they can jump right to any play. All these scorekeepers have every play listed down. So probably need enough people that you could trust to look through the analytics. Give me what's real important. What's going on with our play in our own end? Why every time the defenseman gets the puck, why does he not get it over the blue line? Why does he get turnovers? That stuff I can live with, but I think if you get so much of it, and like I said, how much time do you have before a game? I mean, players have to get a rest. They have to get ready to play. And I don't know how much time they need.
Before we let you go, I want to talk about a couple teams that have not had good starts. I thought both Ottawa and Buffalo would be better this year. And I don't think they are, at least not so far. Can you possibly explain why you think that's the case?
Well, with Ottawa, it's been defense and goaltending. When I said defense, it's not just the defensemen. It's you get a group of young players, they have a really good group. They're missing one really good player, Norris, but that's only one player. But they have a group of young forwards, and they come. It's when you get a lot of early draft picks, they're usually drafted because of their offensive statistics. Right. They get into the league, and they're not playing much defense. And I think that's hurt Ottawa, and it, Buffalo a little different. They're doing it. I really like Buffalo's defense core going forward. I like the fact that Dahlin is now in his fourth year and he's playing with confidence and he's playing the two-way game you need. Owen Power, I think, is going to be an excellent player. He's getting by now by not taking a lot of foolish chances. He moves the puck. Every time he gets the puck, they usually keep it. Mikael Samuelsson, his dad played for us in Pittsburgh. He's a special type of player. He's defense-minded. They're building it from the defense is okay, but they got a 40-year-old goalie who can play good on occasion, Anderson, and then they got another goalie that's just trying to make it. Mm-hmm. That's not a great combination right now. I mean, you're going to need goaltending. There's no game you don't need it. So Ottawa, to me, they've got a lot of snipers. They got guys that can score, but they're probably frustrated players. I'm looking at a player like DeBrincat. He's in Chicago. He's scoring 40-plus goals. You know, the team's not winning, but he's scoring. Now he's in Ottawa. I mean, he's a good young character player. There's nothing wrong with his character, but, you know, he's sitting there with six goals, and I think he's probably that's going to weigh on a player like that. And
Sure.
They're going to have to get the last two games, it seemed that they've played better. I mean, I haven't seen the games. Shots on goal are not magnified, but they do have a core of young players that have got to learn how to play some defense. It's a tough league to learn in when you're measured against.
You've got that
division now, and you look at Panthers, Lightning, Toronto, Boston. I mean, there's four. Okay, one of them teams has to be a wild card. And then you're going into Detroit, Buffalo, Ottawa. I had those three rated pretty close. And then I had Montreal. I wasn't sure. But Montreal has really surprised, Bob. I mean, they've been a big surprise on young players. And you know, I don't think it's a fluke on their being. And you know, in Montreal, if they can stay competitive, that building is going to help them. It's not going to hurt them because they get good crowds, and they finally embraced a team for the last 4 or 5 years that hasn't been able to do it. So that division is it's top heavy at the top. And then it's mediocre, and then it's – I don't think there's a real patsy in that division now.
I agree with you. We got to get out of here. Time is our enemy. Thank you, Coach. We appreciate your time as always. We'll see you soon.
Okay, boys. Thanks,
Scotty.
Scotty Bowman.
Bye now. Bye, John.
Back in a minute.
The world's greatest sporting event only rolls around every 4 years, and every 4 years – everyone becomes a soccer fan. That's right. Billions of eyes are about to fall upon 32 nations – battling it out for soccer supremacy. The Men in Blazers podcast will once again be your guide to every incredible goal, every heartbreaking defeat, and every moment of human triumph. This is America's number one soccer podcast, bringing you expert analysis of every U.S. men's national game and exclusive interviews from a slew of athletes and celebrity guests, all month long. This is what the world will be talking about. This is the one podcast that makes soccer fun and entertaining for everyone. Follow Men in Blazers on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, or listen early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Our thanks to Scotty for entertaining us for the last 45 minutes.
I love it. I honestly cannot get enough of Scotty talking and telling stories.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'll you know, it was about 55 years ago this week, Bob, that he got his first job as coach of the Blues. And I was trying
55 years ago.
Cow. And I was trying to bring it up when he started talking about that Blues team, but he didn't. I didn't want to interrupt him. Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt him. So
We should spend some time talking about that soccer game yesterday, I guess. There's not much you can say.
Well,
ass kicked.
Even listening to Herdman after the game, the 2-1 goal was the death knell. Because the Croatian midfield was so good, they took control at 2-1. You knew that Canada, if they had to get back in the game in the second half, you know the Croatians were just going to make mincemeat out of them, and they did. They did.
That opening goal was quite stunning, though, wasn't it?
Well, yes, but you know what? We're not much different. If you know the next game's in Morocco. I'm not sure whether it's worse to say, well, they got into the World Cup and scored one goal versus they haven't scored a goal yet. This is a work in progress still for this soccer club.
Well, that's clear now.
And this was supposed to be, the off ramp to get ready for 2026 when the World Cup is here in our country. And hopefully there's been enough experience for the players, for the coaching staff to make that better. I'm still a little ticked off. I mean, I'm disappointed. I just don't want a participation medal anymore in soccer. I want to win.
How important do you think the Morocco game is?
I think it's important I think we need to score again. Hopefully the morale of the club is such that they want to be able to make a difference. But yeah. I think it's important in so many ways to say that we can be a power in this game. I think it's really important, Bob.
No, I do too. I think it's important for the future of the organization and future soccer in Canada.
Well, because what we don't want to be reminded of is we were reminded of so many times, well, we haven't scored a goal at the World Cup. And so in 2026 you haven't won a game at the World Cup. Yeah. It needs to be a full 90-minute game that they have a chance to win and to score more goals. This is a real important morale building game against the Moroccans, and the Moroccans are good. I mean, let's face it, the Moroccans now are truly the story of this group.
Well, they are,
and consider what they did against Belgium,
and they have a chance to move on with a victory, so they're going to be motivated.
Absolutely. So hopefully everybody's on the same page, and we can enjoy at least something coming out of Qatar with the Canadian team.
Anything else you wish to discuss or address?
How about your Cleveland Browns yesterday?
Yeah, what about them?
Beat Tom Brady and the Buccaneers in overtime.
The Buccaneers are not what they were.
Tell you what, I was actually there. I was in Cleveland. Mr. Brady was just average.
He's been that way all year.
Yeah. No, I watched a lot of. I watched his routine. It was a fun place to be for an afternoon, Bob.
Well, Cleveland gets their quarterback next week. We'll see.
Well, tell you what, Brissett deserves a chance. Why not stay with him until?
Not a chance.
I know. They got too much money invested in the other guy. I know.
Yep. That's going to happen. So get ready for that. Don't think it'll mean anything this year, but it'll mean something, I think, I hope, down the road. We got to get out of here. Goodbye, Shannon.
See you, Bob.
Goodbye, everybody. Thanks for being with us.